All right. Quick episode. We are doing audio only in this episode. I wasn't going to do an episode, but I ain't no pussy. Just don't have, you know, I don't feel like setting everything up for a video just because this was not a game that were that warrants deep discussion. You know, so it's going to be a shorter show. It's going to be audio only. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, then this is a normal episode for you. But if you do usually watch the video podcasts on YouTube or Spotify, then this is once again audio only. It'll be on those platforms, but it will only be audio. Tough loss. I mean, obviously, horrible loss to the Pacers in Hickville. Game 4, 129-89. Let's talk about it. Episode 683 of the show. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA. Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Let's get to it. Anthony for three. Okay, episode 683, reminder, audio only in this show, should be a shorter episode, 20-30 minutes tops. 121-89 in Hickville last night, or yesterday afternoon. This game was over minutes into the first quarter. I'm surprised I stayed around to watch anything beyond the first quarter. I didn't watch a millisecond of the second half. Like, this was probably the first time ever where I totally decided to, where I just didn't even, it wasn't a thought. The second the first half ended, the power button was hit. I went to the Yankees post game. It wasn't even like the Yankees were playing by the time the first half was over. I went directly to the post game. Just the Knicks were down. I think they were down by 40 points at one point in this game. So they get completely washed in Hickville last night, yesterday, whatever. And this was, you know, it was a G League performance. It was a pathetic, embarrassing effort. But, you know, at the same time, you just got to ask yourself, like, is it finally here? Like, have the Knicks finally hit that physical wall where they just can't take anymore? Are they out of gas? Because logically, you could very much look at everything that's gone on and say, oh, yeah, that's it. They're out of gas. Right? I mean, this you just got to take a second. And even if you're a Knicks hater, for whatever reason, take a second and use the brain and actually think about the facts. Like, they are without a 25-10 all-star, all-NBA player, without Julius Randle. They are without Mitchell Robinson, their starting center. They're without their starting wing, OG Anunoby. They're without Bojan Bogdanovic. So they are without four rotational players in a rotation that was already 8 to 9 men. So they're without half of their rotation. Not to mention, you've got Isaiah Hartenstein playing on an Achilles. One, a single Achilles. You know, he hurt himself yesterday. You've got Jalen Brunson playing on a foot, one single foot. And this team, with the amount of taxing games they've already got under their belt, where they've had to fight, scratch, claw, and a lot of them have had to do it for 48 minutes. And now you're running into an Indiana Pacer team who plays at this up-tempo, very quick pace. You know, with a ton of speed, passing, quick decision-making, and they're all over the full court on these leak-outs. You're playing that as a fatigued Knick defense. Right, they're forcing you to run around in semi-transition and fight through screens. They're forcing you into rotation. They're putting you in a blender on these pick and rolls. You're a fatigued team playing against a high-paced team. You know? So anybody who thinks it's just come to a head and the Knicks have finally hit a wall, it makes perfect sense. You know, we think of these guys with how unbelievable they've been to get to this point as superhuman. But at the end of the day, I mean, we see it time and time in sports all around. Like, these are humans. You know, like, there was a point where I never thought, it's kind of unrelated, but like, I never thought I would see Valentina Shevchenko go on the bit of a rut that she's in right now. You know, I'm an MMA fan. I was like, whoa. Valentina's not this superhuman. She ran into Grasso twice and hadn't beaten her yet. Although, you know, you can make a case there. Second time. But, you know, like, that was just one of the moments outside of the Knicks that, like, I recognized, whoa, they aren't superhuman, you know? So, like, it's not even just the individual players that they're missing. Like, of course you miss Julius, you miss Robinson, Ananobi, Bogdanovich. But, like, I don't even care. Like, you can be a guy who's not the biggest Randall fan, or you can be a guy who's skeptical on Mitch, or et cetera. Just simply losing those bodies, four bodies, forces Tibbs to put more minutes on other guys and even now dip into his third unit. Right? I mean, he's had to go to these guys that we never thought we'd see Alec Burks be playing big playoff minutes. He had 1 minute in the first whatever games combined entering game four or game three. I guess the good thing to take away is that Burks, since getting minutes, now yesterday was a lot of garbage time, but he looks promising. He's scoring off the dribble. He's scoring off the catch. The defense has, you know, it's survivable with him. So he'll be getting some time in those small ball lineups. Just please, no more Jericho Sims. Jesus Christ. Like, he went to Shake Milton, I think, in the second half. I didn't watch it, but I heard. Like, do we see more Shake Milton? The fact, again, man, the fact that I'm saying Shake Milton's name on May 13th is freaking insanity. But that's where we are. That is where we are. Like, after, I think it was after the Mitchell Robinson injury. Jeez, I can't keep track anymore. But after the Mitch injury, I believe, I said on the podcast that the Knicks cannot afford any more bodies to go down. What happens? Well, they lose OG Anunoby. They lose half of Jalen Brunson, their superstar point guard. Right, I think, listen, the Jalen Brunson 29 points in game three, 24 coming in the second. I think that second half was him on pure Madison Square Garden adrenaline. Right, that was, they probably shot him up with something good. And then, you know, he's probably out there just running on straight adrenaline, Garden crowd willing him to it. And I think you're finally seeing, again, he's not superhuman. You know, he's a superstar. He's not a superhuman. That you could see it's affecting him. The shiftiness is not there. You know, he's not able to stop on a dime and draw that contact like he usually can. He can't plant his foot when he comes to that stop. He's got no more lateral quickness, so the defense is hurting him. Offensively, you could just see it, though. Like, they're putting him into tons, and this is from the get-go of the game, they're putting him into tons of off-ball sets. That's intentional. You know, he's not able to initiate as much as he would like to. You're already seeing him just forced into so many threes off the dribble. And that's been a thing ever since Julius went down. He's not able to get his open catch and shoot looks. So he's had to do so much on this foot injury. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, like, if he's this, you know, if he's this unhealthy the rest of the series, oh, it's absolutely good night, Knicks. It is absolutely good night, Knicks. And you might not want to hear that. But, I mean, think about this. This is the one guy you need to be 100% with everything else that's happened around him. They need him. He's had to carry so much of the workload. The fact that now he's, I don't know, he looks 50%. Like, that's not going to be enough. You know? Is Tom Thibodeau to blame? No, For what? Tell me exactly what he is, the boogeyman, to blame. Because every time the Knicks lose or get into a rut, this conversation comes up. You know, the Twitter narrative resurfaces because these 18-year-old snowflakes who've never had to work hard in their life, you know, start to blame the boogeyman. Bojan Bogdanović has a wrist injury. That has nothing to do with the coach. Mitchell Robinson had an ankle injury because he's a stick man running around, and Joel Embiid had to worsen that. That's nothing to do with Tom Thibodeau. OG Anunoby, yeah, the hamstring is overused, but they're trying to win a fucking playoff series. Who else are you going to play? You want Charlie Brown to get those minutes? You can ask any doctor. There's that, you know, that doctor, that sports doctor who's been on a couple podcasts already. He's got his own YouTube channel, Brian Sutterer. He's a doctor. He'll tell you straight up, it's not a head coaching problem. So you probably should look for a doctor's opinion before you go to a Twitter minion. This isn't a Tom Thibodeau thing. Now, like, yeah, like, okay. The regular season's a different story, right? You can maybe say next year when Tibbs is back, because he will be, and he'll probably get an extension beyond that, as he should, then maybe you should probably, like, the front office should probably have a conversation with the guy. You know, less minutes, let's make these minutes patterns a little different just because of everything that's went down, right? Maybe prioritize regular season games a little bit less, which might take a couple of wins off you, but it'll still keep you in good position for the postseason. I get that part. But I think we have to stop being so extreme. We go to this extreme, we go to that extreme. And I guess I can be guilty of that too. But at the end of the day, Tom Thibodeau is the reason that the Knicks, like, this philosophy of play your ass off every day is the reason they're the number two seed. It is the reason they're in the second round right now, 2-2 going back to the Garden. So you have to live with the bad because good comes with it. You can't pick and choose. That's just not fair. So you may want it your way, but you have to sometimes shoot the shit straight and realize it's not always going to be perfect. That's how this has worked. You know, now the one thing I will slightly criticize Tom Thibodeau for, and this is something I've been on for a little bit, right? This rotation where – pressure. Like, I don't, again, this is semantics. It's like deciding which pile of vomit do you want to clean up? Like, Precious Achiuwa starting at the four, I've never been a fan of it. Listen, in the second half of this game, Tibbs, I think, finally showed Knicks fans, okay, I'm done with that, and I'm going to start Deuce McBride because he came out of the second half with Deuce in the starting lineup instead. So maybe he was getting a look at that, and that's what we're going to see in game five. And I think that is the right decision, but I thought he should have went to that the second Anunoby went down. I'm having a hard time. I mean, I understand he wants the size, the rebounding, the defense, and all that. But I think the number one priority should always be making life easier for Jalen Brunson, especially making life easier for a very compromised and not healthy Jalen Brunson. And with Precious Achiuwa out there on the floor with Jalen Brunson and three non-spacers, that's not really prioritizing making life easier for Jalen Brunson. The Pacers already switched the matchup by putting Naismith onto Jalen. But now he's got to deal with a longer, tougher to screen off Naismith. He's got to deal with zero spacing. And this injury on top of all that, it's making his life hell. And that's why he's just not been the same. That's part of the reason he's not been the same in these last couple of games in Hickville. Having OG Anunoby hurt it could very well kill this team. His versatility is, like, the floor spacing's gone. His defensive versatility, you don't have that now. Like, you're getting killed. Like, I think an even bigger problem, maybe just as much as a problem as the offensive side, has been the defense and not being able to hold Siakam down. The Knicks are getting killed time and time again, two games in a row, on that Siakam matchup. Josh Hart on Siakam doesn't work. And you could say, well, Josh Hart on Siakam, you could take that away with Precious at the four. Well, no, you could switch the matchup. Like, in game three, the second half, Tibbs came out the gate by putting Hartenstein, or this is the fourth quarter of game three, he put Hartenstein on Pascal Siakam, and he switched Hart to Turner. That's what you should be doing with that small ball lineup. That was working fine. But for some reason, he went away from that. After the fourth quarter, he starts game four with the usual, let's put Hart on Siakam, which just isn't working. So I think coming out the gate in game five tomorrow night, I would like for Tom Thibodeau to put Deuce McBride in that starting lineup. Now, Deuce has not had a great series. I get it. But it's just about what everybody else can do in these certain lineups. So I would like the Brunson, McBride, DiVincenzo, Hartenstein starting five. And then your bench would be Alec Burks, and then Precious as your backup five, not your four. Is it a small starting lineup? Yeah, Indiana's got a very large front court. It's small. There are concerns on the glass. There are concerns on the post. But again, switch the matchup. And it's a small ball lineup that also matches the quickness of the Pacers. So it might work defensively. You know, it gives you the offensive spacing. It matches the quickness, and you can switch the Pascal Siakam matchup. That's it. That's all. I just wanted to get that off my chest here. That's the most important thing to me. With what we have left to work with, I think that should be a must for the rest of this series, however long it lasts. Is it over? There's a small percentage of me. Listen, I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm leaning towards Pacers now. But there is a percentage in me, I don't know how big, 40%, 45%, it might end there, that says, no, it's not over. because it's just one game, you know, losing by one versus losing by 40, whatever the fuck they lost by. It's one game. Indiana, I'm still not too impressed with them. I'm not going to lie. They're unimpressive. To be tied 2-2 against this version of the Knicks isn't that impressive to me. And, you know, at the end of the day, how often do we say this? How often have I looked stupid? You know, where the Knicks always show us this resilience when they're down. They always find a way to fight back and remind us, oh, yeah, this is Thibodeau's Knicks. This is the 2024 Knicks. They are never out of things. And then there's a percentage of me that says, well, you know, logically, scientifically, it could be over. You know, like, just because of everything we mentioned above. You know, and a blowout like that can be hard to come back from. It could easily kill you. And if it is over, like, is it the worst thing in the world? It's unfortunate. It'll feel like this season has been a complete waste because you've come this far. But at the same time, don't be a friggin' idiot. You know? Don't be an idiot. Like, the Knicks are still set up very well for the future. They've got themselves a superstar in Jalen Brunson. They've got themselves a 1B star in Julius Randle at the moment. You know, they've got the most complementary role players in the NBA. They've got guys coming off the bench who could start on a lot of teams. Right? Robinson, Bogdanović. They've got Hart, who's starting now. But, like, they have got depth. They've got a ton of value contracts. I mean, Christ. They're in a good situation financially. Right, the cap situation with them is in decent shape. They've got a ton of draft capital, so they could still, like, they're set up to make big moves. This summer could be a big one. You got guys like Mitchell. You got guys like Ingram. You know, we'll see what happens. I know Knicks fans want Bridges. Like, there are a lot of possibilities here. And listen, like, remember, If you're having trouble feeling optimistic about the future of the Knicks, I just got to remind you, anytime that the national media is this uncomfortable with the Knicks being good, it means the Knicks are very fucking well set up. It means they're very much in good shape. So anytime you see the national media, you know, calling the Knicks garbage or saying that they'll get stomped by this team and, you know, having these headlines, are they overrated? Anything, anytime you see Bleacher Report, ESPN, Inside the NBA, TNT, anytime you see these topics come up on those outlets, it means nothing but good things are happening in New York City. And I think we'll end with that. So let's head to our final break. And, no, you know what? We don't have a trivia. I was going to say we'll get back and wrap up with our trivia. We don't even have a trivia. I think we'll finish here. So I appreciate you all tuning in. We're going to get right into the outro. Thank you all. Episode 683 in the books. I'll see you then. This episode was brought to you by Anchor.
Hey there. If you stayed the entire way through, we thank you immensely for it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you come back for the next episode real soon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, download these episodes, and share them with your friends as well. BD4 is a 5-star podcast simply because of you. And we'd like to keep it that way. Have a wonderful day. Go Yankees and go Knicks.